Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that it's your Holy Spirit that teaches us, that gives us words, that gives us boldness, that gives us understanding about these words that you've given to us. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us tonight. Give us understanding and revelation from your word that helps us to live in a greater level of fellowship and intimacy with you than we've known before. Lord, we will hear and be doers of your word. Yes. If you deliver it, Lord, we promise we'll be doers of it. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truths. I thank you for boldness and utterance. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I told you I was going to do the prayer of unity, but I'm not, because I'm like that. Just kidding. No, I got to go back to the prayer of praise and worship. I actually was, there's just so much there that we didn't cover, and I was looking at the prayer of unity and looking at it, and then I was actually listening to an audio of the prayer of praise and worship, and I just felt like, nope, you're not done with that yet. And so we need to go back to it. So if you want to go back there, we'll go to Acts 13. And if you already read the prayer of unity, then you're ahead of the game. But one thing I don't want to do, sometimes I'll do this, I'll feel like I need to get through something. But this isn't a this isn't like school, you know. We don't have so much time and then we're done. You know, the end of the year is not coming. We just keep learning and keep learning. But there's no sense in moving on to something if you didn't get the first thing, you know. So let's go to Acts 13 and we'll look at this again. And I want to emphasize some different things here. That we didn't get to last week. So Acts 13:1 says this, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon," and as Brother Hagin would do, just skip down and ending with Saul. He just skipped the names. He didn't care to, I guess, say them all. But anyway, verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to,'" or called them, which I have called them. And you guys know that Saul is Paul. That's who that is there. It's the same guy. "Then having fasted and prayed, they and laid hands on them, they sent them away." They sent them away. One of the things about ministering to the Lord, and one of the things about prayer is, a lot of times when people think about prayer, they just think, I'm asking God for something. But this is a prayer, and people sometimes think, what do you mean prayer of praise and worship? Because when they think of praise and worship, they think of the beginning of the church service, and the guys up there or the gals up there singing, and we're singing with them. But really, prayer, or praise and worship is the highest form of prayer. Your prayer, if you look at prayer as fellowship with God or communion with God, it will help you. Like, even though we understand that there are formulas in the Word, you can ask the Lord, the Father, in the name of Jesus. It's more relational than what people think. It's more about fellowship with God than what people think. It's more about you just knowing Him and Him knowing you. The name of Jesus is just, it's like a key, basically. Where's God at? He's behind the door. Well, the door's locked. I know, but we have the name of Jesus. And it just gets you to Him. It's not like, you know, don't make it religious. Make it relationship. You know, every time I have a conversation with God, I don't just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'd like to have a conversation with you. You know, I don't do that. I just talk to Him. God, because I'm in Christ. Yeah. And so this, and this is something that a lot of people don't understand. It's just like I was saying last week, I was talking to this gentleman that I work with, and he was talking about how he thought growing up, you just go to church on Sunday and the rest of the week you just do whatever you want. Because people have an idea of relationship with God that is, he's stuck in a building somewhere. They don't look at it as conversational. They don't look at it as, see, Paul, and this is one of the things God was trying to get across, and Paul was trying to get across in the book of Ephesians. Paul related relationship with God to marriage. And if you're married, how well do you know your spouse? You're supposed to know God that well. That close. You're supposed to be that close to Him. And God's made a way for that to happen. And so when you think of ministering to the Lord, don't just think in terms of making a bunch of confessions or we have to sing three fast songs and then two slow songs and it's a guaranteed formula that God will show up. Not necessarily. Ministering to the Lord is not about singing pitch perfect. It's about your heart. And when your heart's right, and when you're longing and you're doing it as unto the Lord, the manifest presence of God comes into the room. Now, I've done this lots of times. We'll just do it here. If you in your heart decide, and I in my heart decide, that we're just going to minister unto the Lord, what seems like just a regular Bible study can quickly change. Now, I've done this on purpose before. The Lord's led me to do it. And then other times I've just decided, nope, the presence of God is going to manifest. You know, I would get that way because of Wigglesworth. I'd read after Wigglesworth and Smith Wigglesworth and see some of the things that he would do. But when you get a group of people that are expecting from God like these men were, you know, being prophets and teachers doesn't mean that's not what got God to show up. That's just the offices they were. I'm not minimizing the office. I'm just saying, being a believer, you can draw close to God and He'll draw near to you. In any situation, oftentimes, the reason why people are really excited about Sunday morning church is because there's a group of people that are coming and they don't have to necessarily draw the presence of God in. It can be there and they just get to be a part of it. But they associate the presence of God being there with how they feel or the thoughts that they had before, when really it has nothing to do with that. You can just step over into it. Why? Well, how can you do that? Because you are a spirit and Christ lives in you and the Holy Spirit lives in you. And since that's the case, you then can make a decision. I am going to get into the presence of God. Well, how are you going to do that? I've done this so many times. I could tell you so many times there are times where I don't feel like preparing for a message or taking time to do something in prayer or something like that. And what I'll do is I'll just get quiet. I'll just make myself go over there, make myself sit down, and I'll just start shifting my mind in direction toward God. And all of a sudden, it doesn't take long until it's like the room fills up with God's presence. And when that happens, your feelings adjust, which makes it easier for your spirit to be more, you to be more aware of your spirit. And then you have a situation like this. They ministered to the Lord and what? The Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said. Now, you'll notice also here that they fasted. What does fasting do? It shuts your flesh up. You know, your flesh can be real mouthy unless it has less food in it. Just give it a little less energy. Deny it of what it wants. And when that happens, you become more aware of you, your heart, your spirit. And when that takes place, you're more aware of God's presence. Really, God's everywhere. You know, have you ever heard the statement, well, this place is God forsaken? No. He's there. It's just that the people there may be more geared towards demonic things or fleshly things. But God's everywhere. God is everywhere. It's like the guy, the testimony I heard about a guy, he was doing some street ministry. And so he decided that, I think it was on Halloween or something like that, he was going to go down to this particular area of town with his some other ministers and just share Jesus with people there. And so they got him in the middle of and started sharing Jesus with a bunch of Satanists. And it wasn't going very well. So they just decided God was going to show up. The ministers did. Or the people that were the Christians. And they just started praising God. They just started worshiping God and honoring him. And they weren't doing it loud. When all of a sudden some of these Satanists started falling out under the power of God. They didn't know what to do. But what they were being, and these Satanist guys were being very forceful, kind of aggressive, you know, trying to use the power that they had against them. All of a sudden they realized, oh, wait a minute, we don't have the power. You do. And so God's presence can fill, he can fill up the area where you're at. It's just a matter of you deciding. So what do we see here? We see a group of guys who decided, you know what? We just want to minister to the Lord. We're going to fast and minister to him. And we're just going to, whether it was through prayer, whether it was through praise and worship, we're going to minister to him and just see what he says. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just sat down decidedly and said, okay, I'm going to see what God's going to say to me? There's no greater joy than to have God speak to you. You know, there are some Christians that intentionally don't wait on God because they don't want to hear what he has to say. I know that's kind of hard to believe, but we need to develop that because when we do, then God can move in a very spectacular way in our lives, because when his presence comes, everything else leaves. Everything else leaves. We looked at this. Most services are designed or directed toward us. Even like music and different things like that are more about what God's done for us than they are worship to the Lord. Which there's nothing wrong with those things. It's just that you want to balance. A lot of what we do is directed toward what God's done for us. Which God is not against that by any means at all. Let's go over to Acts chapter 4 and look at this here. Praise God. And here we see where Peter and John were arrested. And they were brought before the religious leaders. And they were confronted. And at the end of it, the religious leaders said, you can't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. I find that amusing. You know, that's going on right now. It's constant. But why would they say you can't speak in the name of Jesus? Because it's messing up everything that they're trying to do. It ruins their religion with no power. You know, you can't speak in this name. Plus, they didn't believe that they rejected that Jesus was the Messiah. Verse number 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So, what did they do? They went to their own company and they said, here's the problem. This is what happened. So they didn't deny that there was a problem. But look how the group responds. Look how the church responds to what was said. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, this is a very difficult problem. We don't know what we're going to do. How come you allowed this to happen? No. This is not fair. We're trying to work for you. How come we're receiving opposition? Sorry, that's today's church that does that at times. You know, a lot of what people call ministry to the church or that they're getting as far as advice has nothing to do with the Bible. Well, why? We just don't know why all these things have happened. You know, I don't see where they tried to figure out why. They're not looking at, it's not important why it happened. What's important is, what are we going to do now that it's happened? You know, it's like one guy said, his wife was diagnosed with brain cancer. And the doctor and some other people, this guy's a faith guy. And the doctor and the other people said, you know, and people around him said, what are you going to do? He said, well, I know what I'm not going to do. He said, I'm not going to be afraid. It is the nature of man to just go to fear and just let it out. Because we're so conditioned to our surroundings. How about fast and minister to the Lord and find out what to say? So when you know what you're not going to do, then you can decide what you are going to do because you'll hear from the Lord. Well, they went in, you know, they did some probe and stuff for his wife, and they had prayed and laid hands on her. They went in to check. They couldn't find any of the cancer. It was all gone. Why? Well, I know what I'm not going to do. Well, if you don't do something, oh, no, I don't have to do anything. They that trust in the Lord, they enter into rest. What do you want me to do? Chase down man's idea of what to do? Well, that's a dead end. Now, I'm not saying I reject everything man can do. What I'm saying is I will reject the leadership of man and hear the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And then what the Holy Spirit tells me to do as it fits in conjunction with what man can do, then I'll do that. But beyond that, I'm not doing anything. Well, you'll die. I got news. Everybody's dying. Well, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. Yep, those are all opinions. But I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to roll back into fear and allow the enemy to have me. Well, what if this doesn't work out? What if that doesn't work? What if it looks like this? It looks like that. Yep, those are all things that it looks like. But I walk by faith and not by sight. And if I minister to the Lord and fast and hear from Him, if I take time to wait on Him and honor and worship Him, He'll give me supernatural revelation. And it'll just come in the form of words. And words are images, but inside those words are the faith that is necessary to do what I need to do. Grace will be imparted. I'll act on it by that faith. And when I do, it opens up heaven and releases it into my circumstance. And that's exactly what the early church did. That's exactly what we do because we're Bible believers. That's what we're faith, believe God, get an answer. Anyway, so what do they do here? It's interesting to me. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. That's very key right there. One accord. And said, Lord, You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. In other words, these men are not God. These words that are said to us are not God. These people that are putting pressure on us are not God. They can't control us. They can't live in our minds. They can't have us. They can't be a part of my relationship. They're not going to decide what my relationship with God is like. They're not going to decide what happens in my life. Well, don't you know that people don't like this message or don't like that message? Or don't you know that people don't like the word of faith or rhema or, you know, all this stuff? Or don't like when talking in tongues is not for today. I'm sorry. God, You are God. They are not. I will not yield. There has to be a point in the church where we get to this point where we look at people who are quote unquote leaders, like Peter and John did here, and we look at them and we go, as for me and my house, you can do whatever you want. But as for me, I will listen to God, not to men. Now, and I know people have taken that out of balance and they go off on, you know, tangents that they shouldn't, you know, we don't need this, we don't need that, things that are biblical, because I'm just going to follow God. And God knew that was going to happen. But as for us, we're going to follow God. Well, what if the law says this? The law does not determine our faith and our relationship with God. If it does, then God's hand in your life will be shortened. We cannot look at our circumstances, and this ministering to the Lord is such a great thing because it takes you out of focus of what's going on around you and back into focus on God. And when you have that, problems go away. So identify the problem, but then just go to the Lord and minister to Him. Say, Lord, this is my situation, but man, You're God. You made heaven and earth. You made the sea and all that is in them. I mean, what are we concerned about? You know what I mean? Well, where's the money going to come from? God. How are we going to get this to work out? God. You know, well, this relationship is difficult. The love of God and God. What am I going to do? I'll hear from God. He'll tell me what to do. How are we going to make it through? God. We'll make it through with God. Who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of what? Your holy servant Jesus. I thought they just told him they couldn't preach in the name of Jesus. So here they do a miracle. God does a miracle through them, obviously through their hands. And they preach and a bunch of people get saved. And it makes leaders of that day mad. And then they say, Lord, give us more of that. Why? Because they're not looking at the man. They're looking at God. So they're ministering back to the Lord. They're magnifying God. They did ask for something, but notice that they started out by ministering to the Lord. Lord, You're God. You're mighty. You're holy. You're just. You're righteous. You're all these things. You are our God. Okay, let's go over to Acts chapter, I think it's 16. Yep, 16. Now, I'll finish this. You can go to Acts 16, but I'll finish this. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You know that God's presence is in the room when the building shakes. You know, sometimes people get excited. Oh, did you see that person shaking under the power of God? Just wait till the building shakes. How does that happen? We're all in one accord, looking to God. We have one heart. You know, one heart doesn't mean perfect doctrine. It just means everybody. What do you mean? Well, we may disagree on this or this a little bit, but who cares? We're after God. You know, I mean, if it's a big deal, that's one thing. You know, if it's like, well, if it's a major issue of salvation or something like that, that's one thing. But I've been in services where half the crowd believed in speaking in other tongues and some of them didn't. But they all loved God, and God moved. Why? Because they all loved God. And God moves. So we saw that when the presence of God came as they ministered, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The building shook. They had boldness. After you read about, you know, they pray here, then more signs and wonders happen. Acts 13, we saw the Holy Spirit spoke when they ministered to the Lord. And Acts 16, verse 22, we're going to see Paul and Silas in prison here. You know what? Paul and Silas were faith people. This is where this church started right here, and because it's you know the book of Philippians. That's where this all started right here. Verse number 22 says this. Then the multitude rose up together against them. It's such an interesting story. Okay. Let's go back to verse 14. I got to give you a little background because it's interesting. So Paul sees a vision, and a man of Macedonia says, come over here. So they're in Philippi. So Paul has a vision, and right before that vision, Paul and Barnabas separated ways because I believe Barnabas, isn't that where that is? Barnabas, yeah, the division over John Mark. So Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, and Paul said no. Well, and Barnabas was related to John Mark. So they separated. Paul was, or Silas was hanging out in that area, didn't have a release to go anywhere. So Paul chose Silas to go with him. Paul was actually going to make a move to go to two other places to preach, I think two or three. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go preach in those areas. And then he has a vision or a dream, whatever it was, and he sees a man from Macedonia, and the man says, come over here and preach to us. So they go over there, and look what happens. It says in verse number 13, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. So Paul and Silas go and stay there. Now it happened as we went to prayer, I love this, that a certain girl possessed with a spirit of divination, she's got a devil, met us, who brought her masters much profit for fortune telling. So she was a fortune teller. This girl followed Paul and us around and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. So you got a demon-possessed lady following the preacher around, saying, you know, these guys are, yeah, they're preaching salvation. But Paul, verse number 18, but Paul, and she did this for many days. So, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. That's how you deal with evil spirits right there. And he came out that very hour. Now, why did it take many days? Why didn't he just do it the first day? I'll offer you a thought here. He waited to hear from the Holy Spirit first. Remember, these principles are not robotic. They're relational. Have you ever been around somebody who gets in a bad situation and they just start kind of spitting the name of Jesus more out of fear than anything? That's not how it works. You can do things motivated out of fear, but if you minister to the Lord and wait, you'll get an answer and you'll know what to do. Does that make sense? So I believe that's what Paul did here. And then when you hear from the Holy Spirit, then you act. Me and Heidi and I did this recently. We were dealing with a situation with a particular person and actually a couple, and they were going to do some things that we felt like maybe were not the best idea. And so, and both of us had a sense, and more than one person had a sense, that this was the wrong thing for them to do. So, but you can't just go to people and just kind of rattle them, you know what I mean? You need to be led. Now, I've been around people that try and do that, and it just shuts people off. You got to be patient. You got to let people, in some certain circumstances, especially when you're dealing with, as a pastor, dealing with other adults, you know what I mean? It's not like you're dealing with your own kid. This is a relationship thing. There are certain protocol things that need to be done certain ways. And Paul talked to Timothy about him. He said, Timothy, if there's older men in your congregation, don't talk to them like in a harsh way. Treat them as fathers. Talk to them as fathers. Well, yeah, well, they're wrong. It doesn't make a difference. There's certain protocol things that need to be done a certain way. Why? Because it's respect, it's love, it's the nature of God. God does it that way. So anyway, with this particular situation, I didn't know quite what to do. And sometimes as a pastor, as somebody who people will come to you, ask things, there's like a pressure that comes with it for you to give an answer. Well, you should know it all. Well, I don't know everything. You don't know everything, do you? But we know the one who knows everything. So I just was waiting to hear what the Lord would say. And then he said, just pray about the issue. Grab hands with Heidi and pray about the issue. Ask, touch and agree and ask on the issue that I would reveal to this person what they're supposed to do. And we did it and it worked. Now, it took a few days. I didn't hear about an answer on what took place. I mean, it took a good, maybe a week, maybe 4 days. It took a little bit of time. But you know what? God's everywhere. He knows how to get in the middle of somebody and not let them deal with them. And Brother Hagin said this. He said, sometimes sheep will run off over the hill and they'll just go check things out for a while. And you just got to let them romp around for a little bit and then they'll come back. You know? Because we're not in the business of controlling people, but we are in the business of hearing from God. So Paul waited to hear from God. And then we see this in verse 19. And he came out that very hour, the Spirit did. And when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. So in other words, our money's gone, so now you're in trouble, Paul and Silas. And they brought them to the magistrates and said to these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. I thought he had a vision from God. I thought God told him to go preach in this place. The will of God is not all hunky-dory. You know, sometimes, and we've been accused of this, well, you're Word of Faith guys, you think nothing goes wrong. Are you kidding me? We're Word of Faith guys because things go wrong. Yeah. I mean, if the will of God was no problems, well, first of all, if you're really full of faith, you don't mind. You just go at it because you have a fight in you. And if the word of faith, which Paul preached, was no problems, he missed God his entire ministry because he had nothing but issues. But in the middle of it, what does he do? He doesn't go, oh, Lord, why did you let this happen? He looks at the problem and responds out of grace, responds out of his heart. That's what faith does. That's how faith operates. That's how faith lives. And that's how we are to face our situations. So when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. They got thrown in prison and beaten for setting a girl free from a demon. In Acts chapter 4, they got threatened for healing a crippled guy. They're not excited about it. They're upset about it. It shows you where their hearts are. It's just like the religious leaders in Jesus' day. He'd heal people and they would get mad because he did it on a Sabbath day. And he'd look at him and say, you hypocrite. You, if your own donkey or sheep was stuck in a hole, you'd go get it and let it loose on the Sabbath day. But this human you see in front of you, you won't even lift your finger to help him. Because they're not operating in God's nature. And in his love, they're operating under demonic influence. Verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were whining and complaining to God, and couldn't believe that he gave him a vision about this. Silas looked at Paul. That's not in your Bible. Silas looked at Paul and said, I'm doing it intentionally to see if you're paying attention. Silas looked at Paul and said, Paul, you missed it this time, boy. I know you're an apostle, but you missed it on this one. I know you've seen Jesus Christ in a vision, but you missed it on this one. No. They're honestly not even talking about what just took place. You know what they're doing? They are praying and singing hymns to God. That doesn't mean they had a hymnal. They're singing to God. Now, this is what I wanted to get to right here tonight about this. We need to be doing a whole lot more praising than praying right now. There are situations, I've done this in my own life. Some of you have prayed, and I've prayed about situations for a long time. Stop praying about it. Start praising God. Just quit praying about it. You've prayed until there's nothing else to pray. And you've tried to pray about it, and it's like, I just don't have anything else to pray. That's because you need to praise God. And when you do, and this is the other thing about talking about God's presence manifesting, sometimes, you know, there's nothing else to say. But, Lord, I praise you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. It's done. You heard me. You heard me more than once. You probably got tired of hearing me. So now I'm going to praise you. Because you're faithful. You're good. You made heaven and earth. You know my situation. You made the seas and everything in them. You are God of all the earth, all the planet. Nothing is getting past you. You're my Father. I'm your son or daughter, whichever the case may be. You're faithful. It's done. Well, I don't... But what if this... No. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You're working. You're moving on my behalf. Yeah, but the stripes hurt. Yeah, they do. Glory to God. He bore my pain. It's over. Thank you, Jesus. Well, how are we going to... The joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Lord. We got the victory. It's done. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, but what... No, praise God. You've got to... There's a decision inside that has to be made in your will that is an action of faith where you're just going to go, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It's done. It's over. I don't need to go to a particular scripture right now. I don't need to turn on worship music right now. I just need to fast everything else around me and just say, thank you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so faithful. You've brought me through every single time. Where's the money going to come from? Not my responsibility. Glory to God, it's on the way. How is this going to work out? Not my responsibility. God's moving on my behalf. Do you see what I'm saying? To where, you know, I mean, Paul and Silas here, it says, and the prisoners were listening to them, so they were singing out loud. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour and of the night and washed their stripes. Cleaned the wounds. Helped the healing process. You know, they weren't sitting going, we need medical staff to come help us, Paul and Silas. They just praised God. Lord, you're taking care of us. Thank you, Lord. You know where we're at. You got our phone number. You know our address. You know what jail cell we're in. You know our stocks are tied. Our feet are tied and our hands are tied in the stocks. You know exactly what's going on. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. They were not thanking God for the circumstance. They were thanking God in it. They weren't going, thank you, Lord, for these handcuffs. No, they were saying, Lord, you're the deliverer. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. They weren't sitting in the middle of that circumstance going, Lord, you did this to us. Why? Why? They were saying, Lord, you're our deliverer. Lord, you're our healer. Lord, you're going to get us all the way through. Lord, you're going to bring about what you want brought about in the middle of this situation. And what the enemy has meant for evil, you're going to turn for good, and we're going to have a testimony out of this. And when you do that, you're ministering to the Lord. What changes? You go from feeling the pain of the stripes, from feeling the pain of the stocks, from feeling the pain of the situation that's going on around you, not only emotionally but physically, and you shift in your thinking and you start to sense the presence of God in the middle of what's going on. And when you do that, everything changes. You're not just having a good feeling, you're releasing the delivering power of God into the earth as an act of faith. As an act of faith. And doing this releases God. It's not like God's bound or tied up, but it's more like God is wanting to move, but he's looking for someone to act in faith so that he can move. Does that make sense? So, let's go to Acts chapter 10. We'll go back. How do we minister to the Lord? How do we minister to the Lord? I think it's Acts chapter 10 anyway. Yes, it is. How do we minister to the Lord? There are many examples in the early church where people ministered to the Lord. I know I talked about even in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 20, when the Jehoshaphat was going to be attacked, and all of Judah was going to be attacked by three or four armies banding together against them. And they praised God. They sent the praisers out in front of them. They sent the praisers out in front of them. This is something, and we're not going to do it right now. We're going to grow to this place. But one of the things that the Lord told me to do with Faith Family Church is that we would develop and have what we call believers' meetings. Meetings where we just go and wait on the Lord. In fact, if you read through that chapter, you'll see where Brother Hagin, in some of his crusades, at one of them, he just basically said, look, I'm going to start taking service some of the services in the evening, and we're just going to come together and wait on the Lord. And he told the people, he said, if you don't want to do that, don't come. Don't come. Because he wanted unity. It'd be better to have four people that wanted to hear than 40 people who were like, well, I don't know what's going on here anyway. But I'm telling you, some of the things that I've read that have happened in, he had a church in Farmersville, Texas, that they grew and developed to the point where that group would get together and wait on the Lord. And I mean, God would just move by the Holy Spirit among the group. Had nothing to do with reaching out to the lost. Wasn't a special meeting. It was just a meeting for believers. We're supposed to just have meetings for believers. It's biblical. There are other meetings are right too, but we're supposed to have believers' meetings where we just turn the service over to the Holy Ghost, and the believers that are there, they get a word of knowledge. They get a tongue of interpretation. They get a prophecy. They get a gift of healing. The Holy Spirit will just come through with joy. They get saturated to where the building shakes. You need to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit as a group. They were filled in Acts chapter 2, and then they were filled in Acts chapter 4. And Paul said this in Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, I thought they were already filled with the Spirit. Yeah, but do it again. You know, a good drunk. A good drunk won't just do it once. They'll do it again. You know, some of the world, they'll go to the bar every night to solve their problems. Quote, unquote. Maybe I should say numb their problems. The church, if they forgot how to get filled. I know how to get filled. And we're going to teach others how to get filled and then filled again. And then filled again. Well, that's silly. That's excess. No, we're supposed to be overflowing. Yeah, maybe it is excess, but it's good excess.
Yes, the right kind.
It's Holy Spirit excess. It's overflow. And we're supposed to be filled and then refilled and ministering to the Lord and getting into the presence of the Lord will fill you up again. Oh, I just feel draggy in my service to the Lord. That's because you forgot to get filled. Well, this is my job. No, get filled with the Holy Ghost and it'll be like, whoa, this is my job. I'm not just shaking hands when I'm shaking hands. I'm releasing the blessing of God. I'm not just speaking words. It's like I was working with this one guy and we're talking about the Lord and he's hungry for the Lord and I just start sharing things with him and he's like, whoa. And I said, what? And he said, I got goosebumps all over me. I didn't feel anything. But he's like, oh, it's just like God's here. Well, yeah, on the job site. Why? He came in me. And then we start talking about him. And angels go, yeah, and they lean on the guy. Oh, yeah. We're here. Yeah. We drive devils right out of buildings. We drive them right out of people's lives to where people they want to work with you. Why? Well, that guy's free. I'm happy when I'm around them. They can eat off the fruit of the Spirit on you. Acts chapter 10, it says this. Peter went to the Gentiles because he had a vision and God told him to. He said, don't call unclean what I've called clean. While Peter was still speaking these words, Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Peter's speaking to Cornelius' house, and I think he was Italian, wasn't it? Anyway, this is where the Italians got saved. Okay? So while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit did what? The Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. That's a funny picture. The Holy Spirit does what? He's just going to fall on you. You know, oh wow, I just got a revelation. Have you ever read where Paul fell on the young man? It's a biblical thing. Brother Hagin talked about how he went to lay hands on a man one time. He was in a service. He had a word of knowledge. The guy said, and the word of knowledge was new lungs. And he went to lay hands on the guy who came down for new lungs. And he fell on the guy. You know what's interesting? If that happened in some churches, people would be like, oh, what? But yet it's completely biblical. And the Holy Spirit fell on them. We need more falling on the Holy Spirit. We need more falling of the Holy Spirit. How's that going to happen? We'll minister to Him. Minister to Him. Minister to Him. And then, would you know it if somebody fell on you? I wonder if you'd note if the Holy Spirit fell on you. It's one thing to have Him in you. It's another thing for Him to sit on your lap and put His arm around you. And people go, why you guys act like that? The Holy Spirit fell on them. Well, that's ridiculous. It's powerful. It's freeing. It's better than any drug. It goes beyond the numbing effect, down into the spirit and the soul of a person, and just rips out the cobwebs and yokes and chains of the enemy that have just sat inside of a person. The darkness, the depression, the bondage, it just looses all of it. Why? Well, the Holy Spirit sat there. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. I wonder if you'd feel something pouring on you. For they heard them speak with tongues and what? Magnify God. You say, how would you minister to the Lord? There's several ways, but one way is through words. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I honor you. Lord, I worship you. The other is magnify, which is worship the Lord in other tongues. Holy God, we worship you, Lord. You are mighty God. They heard them speak in other tongues, and they magnified or ministered to God. They weren't praying out of mystery. They weren't trying to figure out the problem. They were just honoring God and praying in other tongues. Yeah, but there was no interpretation. They didn't need an interpretation. This wasn't a public meeting. This wasn't where Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. This is a private prayer language in a private meeting. And they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they magnified and ministered. The Holy Spirit and the presence of God fell so strong, Peter didn't even give an altar call. You notice he didn't need, they just got born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit just like that. All in one. To the point that the Jews of that day that were with him went, what? Here they are, believers, not believing. And I understand why. Because they didn't think it was for the Gentiles. But you look at that. How do you do it? How do you do this? Just spend time with God. You know what will happen? All the issues that you see in your life that need to be changed will change. Well, I wish I was like this. Stop thinking that way. Stop looking at other people going, wishing you had what they have. Stop looking to other situations and go, well, if I had this, then I couldn't. Stop with all that mess and just wait on the Lord. Minister to Him. And the presence of God will come and your life will be changed. And insecurities in you will just go away. You'll be able to look at people in the eye and not be afraid of them. You'll be able to stand in the middle of the situation. And when others mock you, you'll sit there and go, it doesn't matter. God loves me. I love God. And I have the Holy Spirit in me. And I'm going to influence these people that think they're better than me. Well, how are you going to do it? By the grace of God. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.